This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Airo. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Airo uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Airo. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In addition to that, you're going to, with a custom-made, custom-designed ring, you're going to get the 365-day no questions asked return policy, which would give you all the assurance that you need. But they've got stunning, stunning, sparkling jewelry throughout the store, including the tennis bracelets. That's $11.99, a limited time only. And with the tennis bracelet, you get a free pair of matching diamond stud earrings to go with. How about that? Stunning 3-carat lab-grown diamond tennis bracelet. Or the diamond necklaces, 10-carat lab-grown diamond tennis necklace, $39.99. Just some of the things available at the spectacular place that is Robert Irwin Jewelers. Plus, of course, 12 months interest-free financing. Go to any of their 5 locations or shop online at rijewelers.com. Chris Harrington, when we return, Jeff Cockinger, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Airo. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Airo uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Airo. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads and grow your business fast.
Kazana joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's Cobra by the young New York band Geese, whose new album I've been listening to a lot lately.
I got my man Fishman coming up next, and he may talk to me about this Netflix. Do you follow the business of movies particularly like this? There's this question of who's going to buy Warner Brothers, whether Netflix is going to buy them or Paramount's going to buy. Do you follow this? And someone tweeted at me and said, if Netflix buys Warner Brothers, it's the talking point is it's going to be the end of movies and movie theaters. Is this something that you immerse yourself in?
I wouldn't say I immerse myself in it, but it's something I follow. I'm not great on the business stuff generally, and my eyes glaze over a little bit about it. Obviously, I care about the art. I think it's very unclear what's going to happen, and it's unclear whatever the resolution is. It's unclear what it'll actually mean. There have been a lot of people who were sort of doomsaying about the idea of Netflix buying Warner Brothers. Mark Harris, who used to be the editor of Entertainment Weekly and is just a general sort of film entertainment business writer who I think is quite smart. He must have been on Blue Sky, but he was basically sort of pushing back about that in terms of, you know, not thinking that was the worst case scenario. He actually thought the Paramount buying it would be worse. You know, I've heard some conversation about, you know, there's only so many more subscribers Netflix is going to get. And so they're going to need other revenue streams, and theatrical is a revenue stream. I mean, it varies, but like there are movies out there that make tons of money in theaters, like Zootopia made a boatload of money in theaters. Sinners came out of nowhere, made a boatload of money in theaters. One battle after another cost a lot, but also made a lot, you know, and other stuff too. And so, you know, it seems like what will happen more is that the windows will shorten. And so things would get on the Netflix quicker, but I don't know if they would bypass theaters entirely. There's a question of what kind of movies are going to get made, right? Warner Brothers made Sinners and made One Battle After Another. Are those movies going to get made in the future? But that's been an issue for 20 years. People have wondered about this, and it's gotten worse over the 20 years, but these things find a way to get made. You know, I mean, famously when Martin Scorsese made Gangs of New York, which was all made in Italy on these massive sets and like, you know, really built, like it was sort of like people would come visit the set and say, this is the last one of these that's ever going to get made, you know? And in some ways it kind of was, but you know, I'm interested in it, but I think the resolutions are a long time in coming, and the meaning of the resolutions are even further out than that.
And then there is a general doomsaying about the future of movies in theaters, right? I mean, that's been 20 years. You are someone who values the experience of seeing a movie in a theater.
It depends on the movie, right? It costs a lot to go to theaters, and people are on their phones, or people are eating, and smell their food. There's all kinds of reasons not to go to movie theaters. But there's a sense of envelopment you have seen a movie in a theater that is just different from watching it at your house, no matter how big your TV is, in terms of your level of direct engagement, in terms of the relative absence of distraction. Depending on the kind of movie, the sense of having people around you experience it at the same time adds to that. I mean, I think about seeing One Battle After Another twice in theaters this year. I think about seeing Sinners I saw twice in theaters. And then smaller movies I saw with, like, really good crowds, like Sorry Baby and Splitsville. Like, really, crowds really laughing with those movies. And I just don't think I would have the same experiences with those movies if I saw them for the first time on my TV.
To me, the fact that when you're at home, you can hit pause. I mean, there's a million things that are different. But literally the fact you can hit pause at any moment is just whatever. I can get up and leave, come back, do something. It creates a remove.
You're glancing at your phone and like all this other kind of stuff. Yes. Yeah.
By the way, is the new Knives Out movie is now available, I think, on Netflix. Is it one? Is there any advantage to seeing? Is it not?
Is it? I don't think it is. Not. I think it's on the 12th. I think it's this Friday.
Okay. Oh, that's it.
But it's going to be, I can tell you, it's going to remain in theaters in Memphis, or at least in one theater, definitely a studio, maybe another one. even beyond that date. So you can still go see that in a theater.
Is it one that benefits from a theater? Like, is it one that...
I think it does. It's also just a good... That's a good, like, night out, day out at the movies with you know, with other people kind of movie. So, yeah, I think it does.
All right. You had a piece that went up after we spoke yesterday, although we touched on some of these topics. And one was, I talked about this earlier in the show, and we had mentioned it last week, I think. The Grizzlies draft last year was just extraordinary. I mean, and the numbers that you have there are, and the players who are picked around their hits, it's just,
right.
I don't know. Like, it is really impressive. In that you said that there is no surefire all-star. This was a bad draft, 2024, or said to be, and bearing out as, yeah. In fact, there's no surefire all-star. I guess there is no surefire all-star. Stephon Castle might be the best bet right now.
I think he is. I think, and honestly, I don't. Edie might be right after him.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah.
In that term, but I don't think either of those guys you would look at and say. I mean, Wimby's not even a good comp. He's already an all-star, right? But like in this draft, I think people look at Cooper Flagg and say that guy's going to play all-star games. And the way VJ Edgecombe's come on, maybe you feel that way. But typically there are multiple players in a draft that even before they make an all-star game, you look at that guy and you say, well, that guy's going to be an all-star. As good as Castle has been, and he could very well become an all-star, I don't think anyone would consider him a surefire guy. No.
But what do you see as Edie's, again, all this, who knows, you know, but what do you see as Edie's chances to someday be an all-star?
Well, you know, being a big man in the West with Nikola Jokic and Wimby in the conference, it's like, you know, so there's a difference between being an all-star and being an all-star level player, right?
Right.
I think it's hard to be an all-star. Plus, who knows what the all-star roles are going to be? I don't know what they are this year. I can't keep up. Does the fact that he's Canadian help him now?
That's a good point. He's Canadian. Yeah.
Right.
Team world.
Because Jokic and Wimby are international.
Oh,
so maybe
damn it.
A big man, like, it's better to be an American. And so there's all this nonsense that really we shouldn't have to. There's enough to think about already. It's annoying. I think he seems like the kind of player, much like, you know, Steven Adams before him, you know, who you can be an all-star level impact without being in an all-star game. And it feels like that is the most likely scenario with Edie. But I do think Edie has scoring upside. I think as good as he's been in these 11 games, it's just 11, let's remember that. As good as he's been in these 11 games, like, his scoring has been erratic. I think there is more to tap into with him over the next couple of years as a scorer. I think there's a lot more growth to come as a scorer from him in terms of consistent offense.
Do you think, by the way, that you've talked a lot about the fork in the road that the Grizzlies may face at some point. Do you think that will also define, like, he could be even more of the fulcrum of this team, depending on how it plays out.
He could be. It's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how they think about him and whether they learn lessons from how they thought about Ja Morant. And they're radically different kind of players physically. They're like opposite ends of the spectrum.
Right.
But because they're an opposite, because they're players at the ends of the spectrum instead of the middle, they are a different ways to kind of players you think you look and think, you know, they might peak early, actually, you know, with Ja, it was you know, small guards who are that athletic and don't really shoot, you know, they're dependent on athleticism. They tend to be better in their 20s and then their 30s kind of thing. Right. Well, with Edie, you wonder about the long-term players that big.
His feet. You wonder about his feet breaking. Let's be honest.
Yeah. They tend to have injuries later in their careers. And I think with Ja, the Grizzlies probably were a little bit too patient with it and thinking, well, you know, I know he just made all NBA, but he's just 22. Like, we got time. You wonder how they'll think about that with Edie, because he's really good right now. And I don't know. Hopefully he'll be awesome when he's 33. But, I don't know that, you know.
Do you – I'm just reflecting on that pick, which was incredible that it was as criticized as it was at the time. He seemed to be good at basketball.
Other guys are really good at basketball, aren't good at the NBA.
Adam Morrison was really good. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's lots of these guys. Yep. So there's a limit to how much I want to retroactively admonish people for not being high on Edie coming out of college.
Yeah. Well, we can say it a little bit because you were. We understood the misgivings. It's not like people.
Right.
We understood the misgivings, and you, at least, for example, not dismissed them, but were, you thought that the pros would outweigh the cons. But anyway, be that as it may, I think the best thing that Zach Kleiman has done is draft Desmond Bane. I think that is the best move that he has made. Is this potentially the second best? Cedric Coward, pretty good too.
It might be, because if you really step back and say what are the realistic alternatives, right? It's easy to imagine, like, you know, but literally, like you look at the mock drafts, the morning of that draft, right? There are two of the five most high profile mocks had them taking Ron Holland. Well, he went ahead of them, right? So who knows? But one of them had him taking ESPN, the biggest of them all, probably had them taking Cody Williams, who went one pick later and has been one of the worst players in the league, if not the worst player in the league for the last 2 years. Another one of the high profile mocks had been taking Devin Carter.
Yep, I remember that a lot.
Like it would have been so easy to absolutely blow that pick. So easy to absolutely blow that pick. And instead they found an immediate starter at center and a guy who now in year two looks like he's going to be like a major difference. He's already become a major difference maker in your starting lineup.
It may play out that the Bane trade, Cedric Coward, whatever, is weirdly enough.
Yeah.
Like drafting Desmond Bane may have been the best thing he did. The move off of Desmond Bane and what flowed from it may turn out to be, we'll see, the next best thing that he did. Anyway, interesting. You can read that piece over at the Daily Memphian. A couple other things I did want to get to. I'll save the question. Matt Herdlicka had a question about Ja Morant that I might get to tomorrow with you. But let's turn to the rest of the league. I'll be honest. I think earlier when Toronto didn't get off to a terrific start, and I had the Grizzlies lost, and I called them a mediocre, whatever. Toronto's been terrific. And Darko's been as the head coach. What do you make of what Toronto's doing?
Well, they've got a lot of good players. The question was, like, do they have a great player, and do the good players fit together? Because there's a lot of overlap. You know, we talk about Scottie Barnes and Brandon Ingram and R.J. Barrett. There's a lot of overlap among their better players. Did they really, you know, Emmanuel Quickley, who's their point guard, is not really a point guard. He's just like a short guy who shoots, you know. And so there was a real question about how the parts fit and whether they had an individual part good enough to elevate them all. I think we've seen that, like, the East has been squishy a lot over the years, but it's squishier than ever this year with the, you know, with all the injuries that have hit to major players, including some in season, you know, with Giannis. And so there's a lot of room for elevation in the East. And I think just having, like, a lot of good players and the coach has played hard and their defense has been good. I don't think that Toronto team is what traditionally would be like a top four team in a conference, but for this East right now, like, you know, good enough.
R.J. Barrett, by the way, is out and is he's getting some kind of injection in his.
I tend to think they will not be a top four team in the East at the end of the season. I tend to think, you know, Orlando has been rising up after a slow start. Maybe Cleveland gets it together. You know, maybe somebody makes a trade like the Hawks or whatever. I'll be a little surprised if Toronto is still a top four team by the end of the year. But they're certainly better than I thought they'd be.
The Magic, by the way, got some good news because Franz Wagner suffered an injury and there was worry that could be serious. It's a high left ankle sprain. You never know how long that's going to go, but it isn't disastrous for them. And obviously the Giannis stuff is cranked up, but I don't know.
He's hurt. So it
and he's hurt.
Like, you know, we're going to wait a month on this. And also he's put out some pushback. He's leaked out some pushback about, you know, maybe he doesn't want to leave Milwaukee and maybe it could go the other way. Maybe Milwaukee makes a trade to try to bolster the team. I mean, I guess that's possible. Something's going to change one way or the other with Milwaukee. Either they're going to trade Giannis or trade or make some kind of desperate trade to try to make the team better with Giannis. I think they'll probably trade Giannis. But it seems like we got a few more weeks at least before something's going to happen there.
It's funny. I saw some back and forth on social media about going for it in the NBA is really dangerous. If you go out and get that one player here, an NBA exec, the NBA is not very good at learning from its past mistakes. They have a whole litany of trades that did not work out, whatever. Kevin Durant in Brooklyn, for example, and well, whatever. There's a million big, high-profile trades that didn't work out. But the truth of the matter is this, Durant in Golden State, now that was free agent, but like there's a whole bunch of Kawhi in Toronto.
The Durant, like, Golden State thing is like a category unto itself.
It's on itself.
They'd already won the title and won 70 games or whatever. Right.
Anthony Davis to the Lakers. Like, there's a bunch of big swings that produce titles. Pau Gasol to the Lakers. Is there a lesson there? Is the, like, do or don't do this? Or if you're going to do it, just do the right trade.
At the end of the day, all player evaluations are individual. All decisions are individual. All transactions are individual. So I think it's an easy thing to, like, you know, pontificate about trends and lessons and whatever, but everything ultimately is individual at the end of the day.
All right, Chris, appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphis. You can read that piece about the Grizzlies draft, the 24 draft. It's just kind of amazing. Like, they're winning 7 out of 9 now, I think it is, right? And 3 of their best players, 2 from the second round, are from basically the worst draft in history. And it's just a remarkable piece of work by Zach Kleiman and that group over there. We got Fish on Friday on Tuesday coming up next. It is funny. If you had billboards all around town that said, "I'll buy your home for less than it's really worth," I don't think people will, like, they're not clamoring to do that, right? If you get a phone call that says, "Hey, I'll buy your house for cash for 70% of what you could sell it for," you wouldn't be interested in that, would you? And that's why you shouldn't follow up on any of those cash offers that you're probably besieged with. Instead, you should call Josh Heisa and the team at Keller Williams Realty if that's the way you want to go. Same convenience that comes with those instant cash offers. But Josh Heisa, he's local. He's going to come out. He's going to look at your home, and he's going to tell you how much he can offer you for full market value. Still get the home, sell your house as is. Still don't have to have open houses. Still don't have to make expensive repairs. None of that. It's Josh Heisa and the team at Keller Williams Realty. Up to 4 months, by the way, then, to make the move, to move out. If you're interested, check him out at joshhasthebuyers.com. Fish on Friday, on Tuesday. When we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Airo can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Airo. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by our man in Washington, D.C., Charles Fishman, author of 3 New York Times bestsellers, most recently One Giant Leap, about the extraordinary efforts of ordinary Americans to get us to the moon, also a 3-time winner of the Gerald Loeb Award for Excellence in Business Writing, and a retired Mississippi River tugboat deckhand, joins me now with a report on, let's follow up, how was Giving Tuesday anyway? That was last Tuesday. Did we give generously?
I just want to pause here and say, first of all, we're going to try not to get cut off today. That was a really dismal.
We just look forward. Then we're on to the next game. We're on to the next game.
Radio always moves forward. I sent you 11 topics this morning.
I know.
And I'm going to let you pick.
That's why we're doing. But now you're dithering. Now you're talking about process instead of substance. So
that's true. That's true. Plenty of time today.
Giving Tuesday
was a week ago. We were talking during Giving Tuesday. And Americans did a record total of giving during Giving Tuesday, $4 billion that one day. That was up more than 10% from 2024. 2024 was $3.6 billion. We increased it $400 million to $4 billion. So that's good. Why do I sound a little unenthusiastic? Well, on Black Friday, just online, which is how most people make charitable contributions now, just online on Black Friday, we spent $12 billion. So we were generous.
Actually, I'm kind of surprised that we gave
$4 billion.
A third as much, yeah, like as we spent. I'll be honest, I didn't give a third as much as I plan to spend on Christmas, you know.
Okay, that's one way of thinking about it.
I probably should. I should probably reevaluate here, given this. Is it literally?
Another way of thinking about it,
you don't give one.
$12, yeah. Uh-huh. $12 for every American. So that's kind of nice. Just to put it in context, that amount, the $4 billion, does not include one of the gifts on Giving Tuesday, which came from Michael and Susan Dell. Right. Do you remember how big that gift was?
I thought that was $4 billion, wasn't it?
$6.25 billion.
Okay.
So anyway, they're giving that gift to the children. Anyway, so that was good. Total charitable giving last year was $592 billion. So that's, excuse me, that's really substantial. That's,
does that include everything that Bill Gates gives as well as what I give?
I don't actually know, to be honest. I don't. Okay. I didn't dig in. It might, but you know, those folks don't. They don't give $100 billion. They have put money in charitable foundations. They may give away, you know, $2 or $3 billion or $5 billion in a particular year. It's hard to give away billions, to be honest. I know people may find that hard to believe. But anyway, and that was up 6%. Okay. So our charitable giving last year grew at twice the rate of the economy. So Black Friday last year notwithstanding, we were generous. And I think people thought that the increase of 10% this year just in Giving Tuesday, December is the month.
Okay. I have asked Chris Harrington and Jeffrey at the start of the show about this Warner Brothers thing, because I don't really. So Netflix had reached the deal to buy Warner Brothers, and here comes Paramount making a hostile bid for Warner Brothers. I'll be honest. I read business news. I read national news. When I get to transactions about one news entertainment company buying another, my eyes gloss over. I don't follow it. Why should I? What is happening and why should I care?
Well, here's what's happening. Hollywood is quote unquote consolidating. You know, we used to have a lot of bookstores Now you can't even find a Barnes & Noble, let alone a Barnes & Noble, a Borders, and your local chain and your local independent, right? We used to have a lot of news sources. Many local newspapers completely out of business, although in Memphis you've kind of defied the trend and you have two news sources.
Yeah.
But together, those two don't total what the CA had 15 years ago in terms of journalism. That's what's happening in Hollywood. People are worried about this because of what Warner Brothers is. Warner Brothers is epic. Warner Brothers owns, you know, Casablanca. They own DC Comics. They own CNN. They just own this incredible array of production houses. They own New Line Cinema, which people have heard of, Warner Brothers. They produce the Harry Potter movies.
If they're absorbed
by Netflix, which itself is already a production studio, then any movie you want to make, you're going to have to deal with.
I kind of
disagree a little bit with Chris. Maybe at the small end, you know, at the I don't care, I'm just going to make my independent and I'm going to get $2 million in funding. But in the middle, it really matters. And I think we want an ecosystem. I'm sorry newspapers don't exist to cover local school boards and local business and so forth. And I think if we lost the movie theater world, I think that would
Do we know, by the way, if Netflix bought Warner Brothers? Like sometimes you can have a takeover, would they let it run as Warner Brothers, or would they fold it in as one giant Netflix?
We don't know. I mean, the idea is that these brands are so distinguished and powerful and storied and distinct that it would. Amazon owns MGM, right? Apple is now a producer. Disney is a huge producer of movies. But Paramount and MGM and Warner Brothers and all used to be independent. And then Netflix came along and they were independent. And so you're converging the number of people. And even if they operate, quote unquote, independently, the mothership is there, right? Eventually, the boss says, you are spending too much money on this. The problem is, so they've made an offer that Warner Brothers has accepted as a corporation.
Right.
This sounds good. We're going to get bought. That is subject to the review by the federal government because of just what we've been talking about. Maybe it violates antitrust rules. Maybe there'll be too much of a concentration. You don't want to have one steel company in a capitalist economy. You want to have 10 or 15 or whatever the right number is that the economy can support. One is a bad idea. 100's a bad idea, but somewhere in the middle. Maybe this would be too concentrated. Paramount, which is run by David Ellison, the son of the founder of Oracle, whose first name I can't remember, the legendary Ellison, he also wants
Larry
Ellison, right? Larry Ellison's a huge technology character. This is his son. He also wants to buy Paramount. He's been trying to buy Paramount since September. Warner Brothers. He owns Paramount. He's been trying to buy Warner Brothers since September. In September, he offered Warner Brothers $19 a share. On Monday, he offered Warner Brothers $30 a share. It's like somebody offering you $190,000 for your house and 3 months later saying, we really want the house. Here's $300,000. So somehow the corporation became worth 50% more. Paramount, which is owned by Ellison, is too small to have the right level of scale in the current market. Paramount can't compete with Netflix and Disney and Amazon. So they want to be bigger, and they want to be bigger by buying.
Okay, and so should I be rooting for one or the other? Okay, go ahead.
One more thing.
Yeah.
Here's how desperate they are to be bigger. In the market, Paramount is worth about $15 billion. And they've offered to buy a company that they say is worth $100 billion.
Mm.
They're buying a company six times their size. Netflix is worth $500 billion, and they've offered $80 billion. So the only way Paramount can buy this is that they've gone to Saudi Arabian investment funds,
mm-hmm.
which have oil money, and invited the Saudis to help them finance this purchase. And they've gone to Jared Kushner, Donald Trump's son-in-law, and asked him to help. So to be honest, if Paramount and Ellison win, they will cut. You can't buy something five times what you're worth and not cut. And so that will have an impact on Warner Brothers. And at the same time, Netflix is going to change the way movies are done. Frankly, I wish people would just let Warner Brothers
be Warner Brothers. Okay. Speaking of let's let Costco be Costco. Costco is suing who? Why?
Well, we all know because we listen to the show that Donald Trump's tariffs have been challenged in court.
Right.
The whole set of them,
right,
against 100 different countries,
yep,
have been challenged as unconstitutional. Because the Constitution very clearly says imposing tariffs is a responsibility and privilege of Congress. It says it right there in the Constitution in black and white words. Donald Trump used a quote-unquote emergency law. He declared a quote-unquote trade emergency. And then under the emergency law, he's dealing out tariffs like he was dealing out cards in a blackjack game.
Okay.
Those tariffs have been found unconstitutional by the U.S. Trade Court. And the U.S. Supreme Court has already heard arguments on appeal from that decision.
Right.
And we expect that decision maybe as a Christmas present between now and December 24th.
Okay.
Yes, there's speculation that it will happen before the end of the year. Costco isn't waiting. Costco read the decision finding them unconstitutional from the U.S. Trade Court, and they two Fridays ago, they sued the Trump administration saying, we want all the money we have paid.
So is functionally that's how it works? If Costco gets something from China, they pay the tariffs on it. And that's so they literally it's Costco. It's not China. I thought that I was told by the administration that China pays the tariffs. No. Costco pays the tariffs.
That's never been the case.
I know.
You pay the tariffs
when you get the deed.
Literally, when you get the thing. Paying the tariffs. When the merchandise arrives at the dock, you, the person taking possession of it,
that's who pays the tariffs.
Pay the tariffs. The government doesn't have any control over
the person. So Costco wants its money back.
Costco wants its money back. Interestingly, Costco did not say how much they were requesting back. Presumably,
all of it.
No, but they did not specify in the suit, and presumably that's because.
What does happen if the U.S. has to give all this money back? And can the Supreme Court overturn the tariffs, say they're unconstitutional, without also saying that the U.S. government has to give all this tariff money back?
I think those are two separate questions.
Of course.
It's very clear that Costco's – I don't really understand the philosophy. No one got Costco on the record. Why sue when this is literally in the middle of litigation, right?
Right.
I think they were just getting their – they wanted to be first in line. They also wanted to sue on behalf of their customers. Like, we know that some of our prices have gone up. The U.S. Supreme Court seems uncertain itself. In the argument over the tariffs, Amy Coney Barrett literally asked this question of both sides. Seems like if we do what you say, if we declare them unconstitutional, there's going to be total chaos. Then we have to give all the money back. And at least one of the lawyers challenging the lawsuit said, well, you could decide to grandfather the tariffs that have already been paid for simplicity and declare a date after which no more tariffs can be collected or any collected have to be refunded immediately. And then, of course, there would be lawsuits from people saying, you can't say you're not going to give me my money back.
Right.
I paid it and it's
right.
unconstitutional.
Give me my damn money back. Okay.
Right. And then Amy Coney Barrett said, it sounds like years of chaos.
Hot dog's still $1.50 despite the tariffs. Hot dog and a Coke, still $1.50.
But look for that as a Christmas gift.
Okay.
Will the tariffs be unconstitutional or not? Moving on.
There's nothing that fires our listeners up more than some good Federal Reserve talk. And tomorrow we're going to get the decision on whether the rates are going to be lowered. Is that right?
Jay Powell.
Our man.
Really, friend
our
of
man,
the show.
Friend of the show.
Can we just agree? Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
If Jay knew how often we talked about him, he would listen to the Jeff
Breaking all kinds of records on sports
every
talk.
Day.
No one is Jay Powell. Go ahead.
So, right. So the Federal Reserve controls interest rates sort of in the country in some important ways. They meet today. They're meeting right now in Washington, D.C., right here. I did not get to go to
That's
breakfast
weird.
With them, but they're
How here. Are they listening then? Why aren't they? That means
they
they're
listen
not
to the
okay.
pod.
Okay,
they listen
to the pod.
They
That's
don't,
fair.
Yeah,
fair.
They don't.
Fair.
They wouldn't beam it into the meeting
right.
room.
They listen to the pod,
think.
Like a lot of people.
And then they meet for 2 days, and then tomorrow they will decide what to do about interest rates, and then they announce it at 2 o'clock, and then at 2:30, Jay Powell gives a press conference. He is really good at the press conference. He answers questions beautifully, calmly, with a certain amount of erudition and calm and charm. They're expected to lower interest rates for the third time this year, tomorrow, a quarter of a point. Then they will have lowered interest rates three quarters of 1 point, 0.75 percentage points. But they're also expected to say, we're done. We aren't doing this anymore. Now, what's the question? The Federal Reserve has two jobs. Keep employment strong, make sure everybody who wants a job has a job. Mm-hmm. That's about economic vibrancy, and keep inflation low. Those two jobs can actually be in conflict, because if you create economic vibrancy, people often raise prices. If you want to reduce prices, as we know, you raise interest rates. Raising interest rates tamps down economic activity, which can throw people out of work. So they're expected to raise interest rates. They're expected to lower interest rates and then say, we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to wait and see what happens. Here's the problem. Mm-hmm. The job market is pretty stable. We're going to get to jobs in 1 minute. Not as good as it would be nice if it were, but inflation is stuck at 3%. Despite Donald Trump saying when he came to office, inflation would end the day he arrived. In fact, inflation's a little higher than when he took office. Inflation is stuck at 3% a year. The Federal Reserve wants it to be 2% a year. 2% is sort of unnoticeable, you know, and 2% allows for cars to go up 6%, but groceries to fall 1%, right? 3% is a little higher. So the prediction is they will lower rates one more time and then put out a note
statement
that says
saying,
we're
okay.
done doing
now,
it.
Now, you said we're going to get to jobs. Tell me about jobs real quick, because I want to get the pajamas.
Well, just last week, we learned after Fish on Friday on Tuesday that layoffs for 2025 reached 1.2 million people laid off, 50% higher than last year. Last year at this time, 750,000 people had lost their job and announced layoffs. This year, 1.2 million. That's 450,000 people who lost their jobs this year as a gross number that didn't last year. So that's a bad sign. The highest number of layoffs in the first 11 months since the pandemic, which of course.
And that's a reason to cut rates. That's the reason to cut rates.
That's a reason to cut rates. This morning, we had the famous JOLTS report. This is the report of how many job openings there are and who quits their job. Remember, people quit their jobs in droves during the pandemic,
right.
They knew they could go get another job. The quit rate peaked at 3%, the voluntary quit rate. I take this job and shove it. The quit rate last month was 1.8%. So
people are hanging on to their jobs because they don't.
More people are hanging on to their jobs. And very interestingly, given the layoffs, there were 400,000 new job openings in the last month. What that means is, even if you lose your job, there is a job out there. Whether it's a perfect match or not is another question. The real question is whether 400,000 new job openings is a lot in our economy. And the question is whether the immigration crackdown is reducing the labor force in such a way that we don't have the people we need to run our economy.
Okay. So last week, we discussed the very important story of Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy urging us to improve the way we dress on airplanes. You've flown back and forth to Miami, et cetera. He said, wear a necktie, you look good, look sharp, look like we did in the 50s when we got on the airplane. And how have people responded to this exhortation?
This was so great. This is the American spirit in practice. What do you think they did in response to Sean Duffy's great? Even I, who'm not a big fan of the Trump cabinet, thought it was a reasonable, gracious. People wore their pajamas. People wore their slippers.
Is there really an out? There's a burst
there was
in
a
pajama wearing.
On TikTok, pajama resistance. People.
Oh my God.
Now listen.
Did you see any? You've just been flying.
I flew standby
yesterday. You witness any pajamas?
So I witnessed three separate lines of people going from Miami to Washington, D.C., right? It was 18 here this morning. Yesterday, in one of those lines, three women, gray sweats, and literally gray workout shorts that ended mid-thigh. And a workout.
Who's to judge? Right? Who's to judge? I'm not going to judge. That doesn't sound like it was in defiance. It just sounds like the way they roll.
That wasn't in defiance. That was just the way they roll. A comic put it very well. I don't agree with her, but this is what she said. We're not dressing for the travel we want. We're dressing for the travel we have.
That's a fair point. Okay. Diet Coke. Something about cigarettes. This is a story. What is happening with Diet Coke?
This is just hysterical. Apparently, we live in our own bubbles, don't we? Apparently, Gen Z.
I've heard this, by the way.
You have heard it?
I'd heard this story, yeah.
Gen Z refers to cold Diet Coke as a fridge cigarette. I love that. A fridge cigarette.
It's like a take a break. You take a break. First sip, like the first hit. Yeah.
You take that first hit and it just feels so satisfying. Emily Oster, the legendary economist at Brown University, did a long post. Is it really a cigarette? Is Diet Coke bad?
Is it?
Quick answer, no. Does not cause cancer. Does not cause weight
gain.
You
know what I have right here on my, to my right?
A Diet Coke.
A 24 ounce. 24 ounce.
Right now. Even if you're pregnant, you can drink it.
All right,
as long
you
got to
get out of here. I'm not pregnant. See ya. See Fishman at wherever on Twitter. Jeffrey, what's coming up next?
Jeff, here's what's coming next on Jason and John. Jessica Benson joins their program. Tim Murray will be with me on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Jeff will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow for Now Work Is Done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.